Good morning, Osborne Neighborhood Church. I pray that you just had a great time with communion. Pastor Nick leading us in communion, hearing some missionary updates and some announcements that just came your way. And let's get ready to jump into God's word this morning. I'm excited to give you a good word. And before I give you the title of this morning's message, I'm going to ask you a question and I'll give you a little hint. It's connected to something we talked about last Sunday and even this last Wednesday. But here's my question. I'm going to lead up to it. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul lays out the armor of God, and he talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, and the gospel of peace, or the shoes of the gospel of peace. But what is our offensive weapon? I'm going to ask you what it is. I think most of us know that it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But now here comes my real question. What is the second offensive weapon that's connected to this armor of God? This one, I think I gave you the hint, right? We've been talking about it last Sunday and on Wednesday. But if you didn't know, it is prayer. It is prayer. Ephesians 6:18 is where we're going to be reading from this morning. And the title of this morning's message is Launching on Offensive Prayers. Launching Offensive Prayers. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 is our text. We're going to be looking at a few of the verses throughout the Bible, but this is the one that we're honing in on and we're teaching from this morning. So if you want to look there again, it's kind of the armor of God. But verse 17 talks about the sword of the Spirit, and 18 is actually some of the same sentence in some of your translations. It's connected. And so I want to read to you Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So I love this idea that prayer is part of our offensive warfare. This is what we use to attack the enemy, right? It's all these defensive postures of protecting our mind, protecting our heart, protecting, you know, our faith, and all these different things of protecting. And that it's good to wear the full armor of God. But there has been, I think even Pastor Nick mentioned it a couple Wednesdays ago, about that we're in a season where things are shifting, where we are to be on the offensive. Jesus told his disciples, right, to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. And so there's this idea that we're supposed to be doing this. And what does that look like? And so we're going to use this verse to give us some context of what that looks like. And so I really love that it's connected. Again, let me show you in the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase. It talks about it this way. God's word in verse 17, God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in the ongoing warfare, in our ongoing warfare. So again, it's just connected. If you didn't realize that the sword of the Spirit and prayer, they actually go hand in hand, because actually you've probably heard this before. God's word is a double-edged sword. And if you've been listening to me for the last few years, you know when I say that, I always reference that it's a double-mouthed sword. In the Greek, it could be translated that way. A double-edged sword means a double-mouthed sword, meaning that God has spoken his word. It's written down and recorded. It's his spoken word. That's one side of the blade. But it becomes a double-edged sword when it becomes two-mouthed, when it comes out of our mouth. When we pray scripture, when we speak scripture, that's when it gets its double edge. And so I love that it's this idea that Ephesians is talking about our offensive weapon. It is the word of God, but you got to know it's not for me just to hold my Bible and wave my Bible around. That doesn't scare the devil. He knows the Bible better than I do. He's got it all memorized. He uses the Bible, right? Probably more than we do, unfortunately. He uses the Bible all the time. He twists it, manipulates it, and uses it. But when it comes out of our mouth, when the truth of God's word is applied to our lives and we speak it with confidence and boldness and belief, that's when it becomes double-edged and we are able to pierce the darkness with the truth of God. And so I love that. I love this idea that God's word is important, but it's this idea of prayer is what we're talking about, right? That's really what I'm talking about when we are launching an offensive weapon. It's connected to God's word, of course, but I want to jump in on this idea of prayer. So Ephesians 6:18, again, we said to pray with all prayers. I want to show you just some other translations. Oh, never mind. I want to read this one first. This idea of offensive weapons, 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This idea that we have offensive weapons. We are not just in a defensive mode of just trying to protect ourselves from the scary devil. No, We are supposed to pierce darkness. We are supposed to tear down strongholds. We are supposed to, as Joshua was told, that everywhere his foot goes, land will be given to him. Everywhere Jesus went, demons fleed, right? This is how we are supposed to live our lives in the kingdom of God, is that we are supposed to advance the kingdom of God. And so I love that. I love that this is what we're doing. And so this idea, getting back into prayers, I think it's my next slide now, is looking at all prayers. That's kind of my first point for this morning, is all prayers. We're breaking it down. I'm going to break down this verse into 3 points I want to highlight, and we're going to come back around to the idea of launching an attack. So all prayers, that's what we're talking about now. In scripture, Ephesians 6:18, it says to pray all prayers. What does that mean? Let's look at its other translations for Ephesians 6:18. We read New King James, but again, it says this in New King James, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. New American Standard, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. I love how it highlights kind of different ideas, but I'm picking up this idea of all prayer. What does it mean, all prayer? What does that mean? NIV says this, New International Version, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I like that. So now he's saying it's all kinds of prayers. What does all prayer mean? All kinds of prayers. Here's one that I don't often read, is the Berean Study Bible. It says it this way, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. So I just want to highlight this idea of what does all prayer mean? Does it mean that we have to be praying all the time? Well, that's in there. But it's actually giving you all forms of prayers, all kinds of prayers, all postures of prayers. Pray with all of them. Don't just pray one kind of prayer. Pray all kinds of prayers. So that's important. When we are given an offensive weapon, to know how to use it. It's not just used in one way. It's actually, there's tons of ways to pray. And there's all these prayers are actually can be offensive weapons. And so I love that. For example, there's different kinds of prayers. There's public prayers. There's private prayers. There's prayers that we pray together all together at church. We did this last Wednesday night. And then there's private prayers. There are prayers that are perfect and partial. I say perfect meaning that they're lacking nothing. They're complete and they're mature. So there's these prayers that, man, these righteous men pray these righteous prayers and they're so full of power. And then there's these prayers that these little two-year-olds pray that sometimes they seem so infantile and so partial, just help God. Two words, help God. But there's power in those prayers. It doesn't have to be this big, memorized, powerful prayer with all these right big words to say. You don't even have to know doctrine. You don't have to, you can be a day old. You can be an hour old in the Lord. In fact, you don't even have to be born again yet. You can just say, God, forgive me. Help me. I believe you're real. And that's when there's power in that prayer, right? People have never prayed before. Their very first prayer is powerful. It's offensive to the enemy. It doesn't matter if it's perfect or partial. Your prayers are powerful. And so I love that. There can be planned prayers, where you write things out, where you know, man, these are the things I want to pray for today. I've got a list of people I'm praying over. We have coming up September 26th, you heard that, the return. We are going to come, it's a planned time of praying over our nation. That's good. There's good times we should have planned prayers. Those are powerful. But there's also times when nothing's planned at all. They're just sudden prayers. They're, God help. They're just things that we had no idea what was going to happen that day, and we're just throwing out a cry to the Lord. All of them are effective. All of them are needed. And so we are to pray all kinds of prayers. So I love that. I'm going to jump into different forms of prayers. I've shared with you several times. I love the idea. I learned it at Osborne when I was in the youth, is the ACTS prayer, A-C-T-S. Adoration, A. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. S, supplication, a big word. But these are different forms of prayers, right? Adoration, just to praise God. In fact, I use this, I still use this today, but I used it a lot in forming my devotional time. When I had to spend, I said, okay, I'm going to spend 20 minutes with God, and I'm just going to talk to God for 20 minutes. What does that look like? What am I supposed to do? I don't know. How do I pray for one thing for 20 minutes? And I get bored and I feel like I'm doing a bad job. So for me, ACTS was a really helpful tool. All right, just spend some time adoring God. God, you are so good. You are so powerful. You are big. You're the creator of all things. You're my Father. Just adoring God for who he is, right? And then I would go into confession, repentance, asking for mercy. God, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I'm only saved by your grace. Apart from your grace, I could do nothing, right? So this idea of confession, spending time, search my heart, oh God, see if there be any wicked way, show me things where I didn't even realize I was wrong, but I want to be clean. I want to be holy. So show me where I'm wrong so that I can make it right, so that I can repent. Those are healthy prayers. They're powerful. And then thanksgiving. This is something that I've probably shared before. I think it's probably a prayer, the form I probably pray more than anything else. When I'm praying with my kids, I'd say at least half of my prayer is just thanking God for what he did this day, what he's given us. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. I'm just trying to inundate thanksgiving into my kids' minds that when we pray, we are thanking God because our lives are so blessed. Anyway, so thanksgiving, supplication, that big word, that's just our requests, the things that we want, the things that we're asking God to do on our behalf. It's a big word, supplication, but it just means now we finally get to ask God. We're just telling God how good he is. We're thankful. We're repenting. Oh God, I need help in these areas. God, can you do this? Can you heal me? Can you do this, right? Supplication is kind of a huge umbrella of all kinds of things we could be asking for. But I love that. There's all kinds of forms. All prayers means there's all kinds of things. There's another verse in the Bible. There's tons of scriptures that point to this, but 1 Timothy 2:1 kind of gives us another small list of prayers. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, we just talked about that, your requests, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks may be made for all men. So there's all kinds of things. You read through scripture, this is not an exhaustive study of what all prayers means, but I just want to let you know, we are to be praying all types of prayers. That word intercession in there, another huge umbrella, all kinds of intercession. Pastor Jill Bills does a great job. She had a great teaching on intercession, but it's the idea of standing in the gap, meaning that somebody is not able to pray for themselves like they should. And so we stand in the gap for them and we say, all right, God, heaven, everything that you want to do in this person's life, I just pray, God, release all of your best gifts, your favor. God, just continue to pour out. And so we're praying on their behalf that God would release everything from heaven onto this person. Or on the opposite side is, everything that hell is trying to do to this person, all the attacks, the enemy, we stand in the gap, we say no, and we stand against the enemy. All the worst that hell has to throw, we say no to, and we cancel those assignments, and we intercede on their behalf. So again, we could spend a whole month series on what intercession is, or all these all forms of prayers, but I just want to get this idea that when we are supposed to pray, they're supposed to be praying all forms, all kinds of prayers. And what is it that you need to work on, right? The idea of Sunday mornings is I'm not hopefully giving you a message that makes you just feel good. I want God to convict me, to challenge me. So the idea is hopefully you are encouraged that you can pray any type of prayer. It doesn't have to be long. It can be imperfect, but God hears those prayers. So that encourages you. But where do you need to grow? Are you confessing a lot? Are you giving God a lot of thanks? Are you interceding? I'm telling you, God is saying this because I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to you that God is saying to us, he wants us to learn how to pray all kinds of prayers all the time. All right, and so this next one. So we were talking about praying all kinds of prayers. But it says in Ephesians 6:18, to pray in the Spirit. So what does it mean in the Spirit? That's our second one, in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I know that when we get saved, we all get the Holy Spirit. That's true. And so to pray in the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is helping us and guiding us and instructing us of what to pray and how to pray. Of course, that's praying in the Spirit. But let me give you a little more biblical definition of what Paul was saying in Ephesians 6:18. He's saying pray in the Spirit. He says in other places. So let's see what praying in the Spirit means throughout Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a great place. You can read that entire chapter. It talks about praying in the Spirit all throughout the chapter. But it does refer to praying in a heavenly language. It's praying in tongues. And so I'm going to highlight at least two verses in the middle of chapter 14. It says this, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying in the Spirit. But I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. So again, I just gave you all these forms of prayers that we understand, words that I'm praying in English that my mind understands. But Paul is saying, actually, I want you to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. I want you to pray in the Spirit in all forms of prayer. He's saying, I want you to pray in tongues where you don't understand all the words that are coming out of your mouth sometimes, but pray in the Spirit. And again, I'm just sharing with you, this is not a whole sermon or a whole series or study on the gift of tongues, But this is something that Paul lays out throughout Scripture, that it's something that every believer can get this gift. It's not just a gift for the elite. It's not just a gift that was for 2,000 years ago. It's a gift that operates in my life, but I'm being real and honest with you, not enough. Because as I read this Scripture, he says, pray all the time in the Spirit. And if I'm honest with you, I am not praying in the Spirit nearly as much as I should be. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has convicted me, Ryan. This is a season. This is a time where I'm trying to shake you up and say, Ryan, this is a season. Church, this is a season when you need to learn how to pray in the Spirit at all times. That's what we just read from Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times. So it's not just 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This is going further. Pray without ceasing in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit, on all occasions in the Spirit. Pray in all forms of prayer in the Spirit. So give thanks in the Spirit. Give adoration in the Spirit. Repent and ask for mercy in the Spirit. Ask for your requests in the Spirit. Do intercession in the Spirit. Do spiritual warfare in the Spirit. So this is Scripture telling us that we are to pray in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I've not often got the gift of interpretation of tongues, but I have a heavenly personal prayer language that I don't always know the words that I'm praying when I'm praying in tongues, but I often know, I would say most of the time, I know what I'm praying for. Meaning, I know if I'm just giving God praise, or if I know that I am interceding for somebody, if I'm doing spiritual warfare, I know it sounds different. It comes from a different place within my spirit when I'm praying differently in the Spirit. So I'm just trying to give you examples that from my own life, my own experience. I'm giving you God's word and my own experience that we can pray in tongues in every form. It's not just for spiritual warfare. It's not just to praise God. It's not just to get an interpretation. Some people read Scripture and they think that the gift of tongues is just to be spoken publicly for other people to interpret. No, that's not true. You're supposed to pray at all occasions, at all times in the Spirit. When you're all by yourself and you don't have the gift of interpretation, which is me, pray in the Spirit. And so I'll give you another verse for that. Jude 20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So again, this idea of this personal prayer language is to build yourself up. It's not just to pray for other things. Paul and now Jude is saying, pray in the Spirit to build yourself up. I'm telling you, too many times I have been weary, I have been weak, I have been discouraged. And if I would have spent time praying in the Spirit, building my faith up, I wouldn't have been that way. Or I could change that right away by praying in the Spirit. And so I just feel like this is an encouragement to you. If you don't have the gift of tongues, and I'm saying, let's go for it. Let's pray every form of prayer there is. Ask for it. Let's maybe you get it all on your own. I'll give you a testimony. My wife, Jen, she grew up, I started bringing her to the youth group at Osborne, and we went to camps, and there was times where people could go forward to get prayed, to receive the gift. And she got prayed for a couple times. It never happened when other people were praying over her. But in her own home, in her own prayer closet, all by herself, she just was real before God and said, God, I don't even know if this is a real gift or not. I'm a little confused on things I've been seeing other people display this gift, and I don't understand enough about Scripture. I'm just a teenager. I don't understand it all. But God, if it's from you and it's a gift, I want it. And so I'm asking, give it to me. And all alone in her room by herself, she received the gift of tongues. So I'm giving you as a testimony, you can do it on your own. You don't have to wait till we get back into the sanctuary. We come together and a pastor lays hands on you. If you want the gift of tongues and you're saying, God, pastor's talking about Ephesians 6:18, praying in the Spirit at all times and all occasions, I want that gift. Then ask for it. And let's see if God does the same thing he did for my wife and he gives it to you in the same way. Anyway, so praying in the Spirit, that's my second one. The third one in Ephesians 6:18 was being watchful. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times, being watchful. What does that mean, being watchful? So there's scriptures that talk about this. I'm going to highlight two, but Colossians 4:2 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So again, are we devoting ourselves to prayer? I love how Paul's writing this to the church in Colossae, right? Colossians. He's saying, devote yourself to prayer. It's not just something you do before you eat a meal. It's not something you do when you just go to a church service. Devote yourself to prayer. Commit yourself. Become someone who's just, that's all you do. That's what you want to do, is you devote yourself. You're gonna press in. Even if it's not what you wanna do, you're gonna make yourself do it. You're devoted to it. And I'm just again saying, I am not devoted to prayer. Like, I know God is saying this morning that, Ryan, it's time to devote yourself to prayer. And so I'm saying, God, then challenge me. Then God, rebuke me, correct me, exhort me, because I want to be who you've called me to be. I want to be powerful. I want to be your partner in your kingdom. And so this is important, that we devote ourselves to prayer and that we're watchful. So I like this idea of watchful. Is sometimes I pray for the same things over and over again. When I put my kids to bed, I often pray for several same things over and over again. And that's not wrong or bad, but I felt challenged by the Holy Spirit. If I'm praying for the same five things every single day and nothing new comes into my prayer, I'm not being watchful. If I'm watchful, there are things all day long that I could be praying for. But there's times where I'm not devoted to prayer, and that sounds like it's extra work. Well, I don't have time. I'm in the middle of this. I don't have time to pray. Again, you don't have to spend 45 minutes praying for one thing. You can do that, but are you watchful all throughout the day? Something you could be praying for. I just want to encourage you and exhort you. Are you watchful? Are your eyes open to see opportunities to pray? Are you seeing people to pray for and with all day long? I know our engagement at church isn't as much, we're online, but I'm telling you, I know you go to the grocery store. I know you're not just at home doing nothing. All day long, are you looking for people to pray over? People to pray for? Are you looking for an opportunity to pray with a stranger? That's a scary one. My mom is great at it. My mom used to embarrass me. I'm not as embarrassed anymore, but I remember as a kid, my mom would just, well, let's pray. And she would just grab someone's hand, and they wouldn't even, we just met them 3 seconds ago in the grocery store, and she's grabbing their hands and praying for them. I love that. I know not all of us are as outgoing as my mom, but I'm saying, God's word is saying, be watchful. Look for opportunities to pray. Even if you're not converting somebody, even if you're not an evangelist, we are all called to devote ourselves to prayer. That's something we all can do. One more verse that talks about this watchfulness. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. So Peter's saying, the end is at hand. Jesus is about to return. The time is getting short. We are in the last days. So watch and pray. So again, this is something that God is calling us to. We are in the last days, and we should be ramping up our prayer lives. And so God is just encouraging this morning, would you watch and pray? God is coming. Jesus is returning sooner than we realize. And he's saying, be watchful and pray. So again, all these things about praying. All right, so I'm gonna jump into my next thing. I kind of hit my 3 points pretty quick, so I gotta have time to come back to this idea of launching our prayers in the offensive. So I just wanted to touch Ephesians 6:18, give you some 3 points on that, and then jump into this. Chuck Smith, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's got a lot of commentary, and he says this when I read some commentary in him about Ephesians 6:18, and he says this: there always comes a time when we must change from a defensive posture in this battle to the offense. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit is how. So as I said, Pastor Nick said several weeks ago that we are to be on the offensive. My kids play football, and there's a very big difference when the defense is on the field. You don't have the ball. The other team has the ball, and you're trying to block. You're trying to not let them gain any ground on you. That's defensive posture, and that's important to put on that shield, right? Or wear that helmet, wear that shield, that breastplate. All those are very important to be defensive and not allow the darts of the enemy to come in and pierce us and rob us of our joy, steal the truth, all those different things. It's important to be defensive, have a good defense, right? But there comes a time when you're supposed to take the ball back, and you get the ball, and you advance on the kingdom. And I love that. That's what Jesus says. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He's going to build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That's important that we understand how not just take a defensive posture, but then to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. I just was thinking about this. Our word, what was our word for this year? The Lord gave me a word that I gave to us as a church. What was the word, right? It was to launch out into the deep. If you think about it in a military sense, the word launch, you don't normally say, well, let's launch a defense. What do you normally say? You say, let's launch an attack. And so if the Lord is saying the year 2020 is not a year to launch a defense, that there's a coronavirus and there's a quarantine and there's all these chaos and unrest and all these things going on. And so the church just needs to learn how to launch a defense. No, that's not, I don't believe that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying that the enemy is attacking, and this is the year that he wants the church, specifically Oz Neighbor Church, specifically you and me, to learn how to take the ball back. That we're not just in defensive posture saying, oh, what do? The enemy keeps doing this. Oh, how do we react to that? No, let's say we're taking the ball and let the enemy react to us. And what is our offensive weapon? Again, it's prayer. So I'm just saying that we've got to learn how to pray. If we want to launch an attack and launch an attack out into the deep, we've got to learn how to pray. Quick story on this. Launching an attack out of the deep. What does that sound like to you? Launching an attack out into the deep or the dark deep means that we're going out into enemy territory to launch an attack where he is. We're not just waiting for him to come to us. We're going to go launch an attack down in the deep heart of where the enemy lives. That's scary, sounds like, but that's what the Lord is saying for this year. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I want to share a story. I was just watching last week. I didn't forget the name of the movie, but it's put out by Voice of the Martyrs. And it's the story of this pastor and some men that were in Romania. And they were there when the Russians came in. This is right around the Nazi Germany and right after. But then there was that still Iron Curtain, right? Communism was still thriving everywhere. And the Russians came into Romania, took over politically. Communism was now spread throughout Romania, and churches were shut down. You weren't allowed to go to church at all. You weren't allowed to talk about Jesus. You'd be killed if you shared the gospel with somebody. And so this pastor and these other few men were trying to figure out, well, how... defensive mode. How do we do this? We got to have an underground church. We got to do this. And they said, wait a second. As they were praying, they saw opportunities to launch an attack into the deep. They saw that some of these low-level ranking soldiers from the Russian army that were in their land were actually just doing what they were forced to do. They didn't really care about communism, but they had the power, and so they were going to treat Romanians horribly because they had power, they had a gun, and they had the backing of the Communist Party. But really inside, some of these soldiers were young and they had questions and they were curious about the Bible that they weren't allowed to read. And so this pastor would launch an attack into the enemy territory. He would go to where the Russian soldiers had their barracks, and he would go into their barracks and he would go under the guise of maybe selling them a watch or buying something, trading something, that he would go in there to do some kind of business. But as he would begin to ask questions and then share the gospel. To me, that's pretty gutsy. He was going into enemy territory and he was letting down his nets for a catch. And the story goes, it's a true story. I don't remember all the name of everything, but this pastor and these men would go there and they would share the gospel, and they began converting and sharing the gospel with all these Russian soldiers. And these Russian soldiers were getting converted and were getting baptized. They were letting down their nets in the deepest, darkest territory, and they were catching fish where they shouldn't be catching fish. And I just want to encourage you that no matter how dark a situation may be, God is saying, would you launch an attack? Launch an attack against the enemy and just let down your nets and let me do what I do. It's not for us. We're not the ones that make the fish get into the net, right? Peter let down his nets and he didn't have much hope. He was just obedient. He let down his nets and God did the miracle. And there was this huge harvest, all these fish coming in, right? So that's what happened in a communist Romanian country when it was illegal to share the gospel. They launched out into the deep and let down their nets and they got a huge catch. So I want to encourage you that no matter what, we are always to be launching. We're always to be on the offensive, not just the defensive. So that's an encouraging story. I want to remind you, Acts 1:8. I had, when I was a youth pastor, all the youth, I made them memorize it, so I can say it to you, but Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? So a lot of us, we know that verse. We've either heard that before, we memorized that, but you find that in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 7, the church for years was in Jerusalem. They just kept having church where they were used to having church. They kept having church where it was comfortable. And then something changed. Instead of Acts 1:8, let me read to you Acts 8:1. Acts 8:1. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So in a sense, the church, the early church that was powerful and moving signs and wonders and doing all these great things, they were in Jerusalem, where they knew how to have church. And it wasn't, and God was saying, no, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, yes, but in Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's supposed to get out of where you're comfortable, out of where you're used to having church. You're supposed to get it out. And so to me, this is so indicative. It's so parallel to where we're at in the American Christian California, our lead at Osborne Neighborhood Church. I'm not trying to compare the persecution of us having to be online and me preaching to a video camera and not with people in the room with me. I'm not trying to compare that to what Stephen went through in Acts chapter 7, dying for his faith. I'm not trying to compare that to even the Romanians or what they went through years ago. Our persecution is so light compared to what the church at large has gone through over thousands of years. But I'm saying, why wait? Why wait till persecution gets so horrible to launch an attack? Why wait so long to get out of our comfort zone, out of our Jerusalems, and be witnesses in Judea and Samaria everywhere we go on all occasions, praying in the Spirit? Let's launch those attacks everywhere we go now, no matter what the persecution level is. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait till persecution gets so horrible that we have these crazy stories of going into enemy territory. No, let's go into enemy territory now. Let's not allow the enemy to advance at all. Let's not the gates of hell not come towards us at all. So I'm just saying I'm excited that there's a little bit of persecution going on in the church right now. I'm praying that it stirs up this ability to pray in the Spirit at all times and all occasions and launch an attack against the enemy. And let's receive a huge harvest, a huge reward as we launch an attack, not just play defensive mode. Amen? Is this making sense? I just was thinking again how we talked last week about how there's prayers that we can pray continuously and there's that God collects our prayers. And I just was thinking about how Moses, right? I used his example that for 400 years, the Israelites were crying out for mercy and for deliverance. And finally, after 400 years, Moses has an encounter with God at the burning bush and he launches back into Egypt and delivers the people of God, God's people from Egypt. But it took 400 years for that. Then 40 years wandering the wilderness, and after wandering for 40 years and after Moses dies, it takes 4 days for Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land, to launch across the Jordan River into the promised land. From 400 years to 40 years wandering the wilderness to 4 days to launch into the promised land. There's this acceleration. There's something that's happening where let's move a little faster. And I'm saying, I want to move a little faster. I don't want to wait 400 years of the church in persecution saying, oh, we need Jesus to return to deliver us. No. Let's not be those types of people. Let's be people that are Joshua's and say, no, we're going to the promised land. We're launching into enemy territory right away. Let's go. Let's just go do it. But I love that Joshua, as soon as he crossed the Jordan River and he was in promised land, he didn't launch an attack. He had an encounter like Moses. It says that he was praying on his own and the angel of the army of the Lord encountered him, which is most likely Jesus, had his sword at his side. He was ready to do battle. And Joshua asks, are you for me or against me? And his answer is, no, I'm neither, right? But as the commander of the Lord's army, I'm here. And so it says that Joshua fell on his face and it says that he worshiped. He had to take off his sandals because he was on holy ground, just like Moses. There was an encounter with the Lord before there was a launch of an attack on the enemy. Before Moses launched back into Egypt, he had an encounter with the Lord. Before Joshua launched into Jericho, he had an encounter with the Lord. And I'm saying before we try to launch against the enemy, we've got to have an encounter with the Lord. We've got to learn how to pray all kinds of prayers, meaning that adoration, that confession, that repentance. And I'm telling you, it's coming up to September 26th. We are going to be repenting. I'm going to ask you that September 18th through the 28th, I'm going to ask that you learn how to pray a prayer maybe you haven't prayed before, but to fast and to repent for 10 days for our nation, that we'd be able to launch an attack. But see, we've got to learn how to encounter the Lord first. And I'm praying that from September 18th through the 28th, we have this posture where we are crying out for an encounter with the Lord. Because he's told us that we are supposed to launch an attack. But before I launch an attack against Jericho, I want to know his plans. I want to know how he wants me to do it. I don't want to do it my own strength. I don't want to do it my own thinking. I want the Lord to tell me what I'm supposed to do. So I'm saying I want to get us ready. The Lord is saying it's time to launch an attack. But would you learn how to pray all kinds of prayers in the Spirit, advancing my kingdom? Would you watch and look for ways that I'm going to be speaking to you to launch an attack against the enemy? So again, those 3 points that we are supposed to pray all kinds of prayers. This is kind of closing, recapping. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit, and we're supposed to be watching and looking where we can go. You know, I was thinking about Jesus. Last point, and we'll close this up. Jesus was advancing the kingdom of God everywhere he went, right? That's what he said. That's why I'm here, is to preach the good news, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, everywhere he went, he wasn't trying to pick a fight. He wasn't trying to find the devil. Just everywhere he went, his eyes were open to see where the gates of hell had prevailed against somebody's life. Oh, you're blind? You're not supposed to be blind. Let me heal you. Oh, you're sick? You're not supposed to be sick. That's the work of the enemy. I'm going to come against that. So he launched off. He was always offensive. Everywhere he went, man, the demons fleed everywhere he went. Sicknesses fleed. Everything that wasn't from the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it left because Jesus advanced the kingdom. He wasn't in a defensive posture mode the whole time. In his 3 years of ministry, the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him and had anointed him to preach the good news to the poor. So everywhere he went, he was looking for people who were poor, who didn't know the truth. Oh, let me explain this to you and give you good news. Those who are brokenhearted and hurting. Oh, let me get rid of the enemy here and let me speak life and hope and courage and comfort to your broken heart. Where there's people that are in captive, that are in bondage and there's strongholds. He knew his weapons were not carnal, but mighty in God for the tearing down of strongholds. So everywhere he went, he was advancing the kingdom of God offensively. But he was not picking a fight. I guess for me, I know Jesus well enough. You know Jesus well enough. Read the Gospels. He was not this brash man walking around just trying to pick a fight. No, he just had this love of God and the truth of God dwelled in him that everywhere he went and he didn't see love or truth, he had to bring the love and truth of God into that situation. And so I'm saying that's what God is saying. I'm so excited that God is doing that here at Osborne. He's saying it's time to go on the offensive. But before we understand all of what that looks like, would you learn how to pray all these forms of prayer? So let me wrap that up. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Are you devoted to prayer? Are you praying all forms of prayer? Does your prayer life need some work? Well, God is saying, all right, I'm not beating you over the head. I'm not mad at you. Let's just work on it. Let's implement Acts prayer. Let's pray in all forms of prayer. You don't know how to pray in the Spirit? Ask. Maybe you do have the gift of the Spirit. You're not using it? Well, start stirring it up. If you're not watching, start watching. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is telling you this morning, I pray that you become not just a hearer of his word, but a doer of his word. Amen. So let me say a quick prayer and close us out of here. God, I thank you for your word that is living and active. And as we said today, it's a double-edged sword. So God, I believe that your word is spoken to us for today, for us to now speak it out of our mouths. God, I am devoted to prayer. Whether my level is right now, whatever my level of prayer is right now, I choose this day to increase my prayer life. I'm going to learn how to pray all forms of prayer. I'm going to pray in the Spirit more than I ever have. I am going to be watching for where I can bring your kingdom and forcefully advance your kingdom and not let the gates of hell prevail. God, I thank you that you are doing a mighty work where the enemy is trying to bring confusion and chaos and darkness. God, you want us to launch out into the deep and let down our nets for a catch. There is a great harvest, a great revival about to happen. And I am not afraid of the evil I see that seems to be abounding. Because God, it's just indicative that you are going to bring a great revival. I am excited when I see the enemy frantic. I am not frustrated. I am encouraged that you are on the move and you're up to something good. So God, we thank you for your encouragement, your correction, and we love your word that rebukes us and corrects us. So God, may we leave here being doers of your word. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys, love you, and I'll see you hopefully for Church in the Courtyard this Wednesday. See you soon.